Al-Bayan Radio presents The Etiquettes of a Believer, presented by Naseem Abidi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We continue, and the fourth etiquette in the salah, or for the salah, or regards to the believer in the salah, is tahsinu al-wudu wa isbaghuhu. For a person to do his wudu properly. This is natural, it's normal, it's understandable, it's logical that when you pray, for you to do your wudu properly. But the sad reality is that when we see our salah, and you see the Muslims making wudu, the reality is that we don't make wudu properly. You find people that don't know how to make wudu properly, which is an extreme problem in and of itself. And you see a lot of people that do know how to make wudu, but they don't put that time and their effort in to do it properly. Isbaghul wudu is to ensure that water has gone to every part that it needs to go to. So when, for example, you're washing your arms, you make sure you've gone in between your fingers, you've gone and make sure you've rubbed the water all over the arm, you've done your oba, etc. When you do your feet, you make sure to get in between your toes. All of this is called isbaghul wudu. Instead of some people, you just see them, for example, they're washing their feet, they just put their foot under the tap, and they move it around and they get it out. You don't know that the water went everywhere, which is an obligation to ensure that the water went everywhere. And even if you did, it's called mujzi. And if the water went everywhere by you putting it under the tap, that's enough, but it's not called isbaghul wudu. Isbaghul wudu is for you to ensure, like you've rubbed the water, to make sure that water has gone absolutely everywhere, and you've done the job that it needs to do. And for that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من توضى فأحسن الوضوء ثم صلى ركعتين يقبل عليهما بقلبه ووجهه وجبت له الجنة. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does wudu and perfects his wudu and he prays two rak'at, and part of the perfection is that you've done this isbagh, you've done this rubbing of the wudu and making sure that the water has gone everywhere. And he prays two rak'at after that. He prays his two rak'at with his heart and his body, and he's in full concentration to the best of his ability. The Jannah becomes obligatory for this person. The Jannah becomes obligatory for this person. And again, how much opportunity we have to do this? 5 times a day minimum we have to pray. 5 times a day minimum. But when we look at the state of our wudu and the state of our salah, you find that it's nowhere near deserving of this reward. Because unfortunately the wudu is usually rushed, not done properly. When it comes to our salah, our khushu' is lacking, etc. And we'll speak today, inshaAllah, about some of the ways to attain khushu' on your salah, because it's one of the etiquettes. But this particular etiquette to ensure that your wudu is done properly. The fifth etiquette, al-muhafazatu ala salati fi jama'ah. To try your best to always pray salah in jama'ah. Subhanallah, one of the best and greatest benefits in living in a Muslim country is that you usually have masajid everywhere. You usually have masajid everywhere. When I was in Egypt, in Cairo, literally every single street at least had a musalla. Maximum every second street, you find a musalla in certain cities. So, yani, alhamdulillah, no matter where you were at any time, it was extremely easy to pray. If you missed the jama'ah in one masjid, you'll make it in the next. Unfortunately, we don't have that as much in Sydney, but alhamdulillah, a lot of people do have the opportunity to pray a lot of their salawat in jama'ah, especially Fajr, nowadays Maghrib, Aisha. A lot of people do have this opportunity to pray. On weekends, Saturdays, Sundays, a lot of people do have the opportunity to pray in the masjid. I also advise the brothers that when you look to buy a house, or when you look to rent a house, try and look for a place that's next to the masjid. Then rent or buy up in a place where it's going to be far away and it's going to be very hard. You know you're really going to pray in the masjid. Pick a place where it's only a 2 or 3 minute drive, even if it's an extra $50 or $100 a week. But for you to pay $50 or $100 a week, but to get those, Allahu alam, how many hundreds or thousands, how many hundreds of thousands or millions of extra hasanat simply by driving 2 or 3 minutes in order to pray your salah in jama'ah, wallahi, it's well worth it. And a person on the day of judgment, he would not regret anything that he spent in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if it meant he spent all of his wealth, but he sees the reward he gets as a recompensation from Allah Azza wa Jal, he will have no regrets whatsoever. So even when you look to buy a house, ensure or to rent a house, try and be in a place that's close to a masjid or a musalla. Allah Azza wa Jal says, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله ويقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوم تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and houses that Allah has ordained that His name is remembered in it. Yani the masajid of Allah Azza wa Jal. These houses of Allah Azza wa Jal are there for the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And obviously the main dhikr done in the masajid is the salah. Bil ghuduwi wal asal. In the mornings and the evenings. So as much as you can to come to the masjid and remember Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why it's there. Rijal. Men. La tulihim tijara. Business doesn't occupy them. They're not worried about the dunya. They work and they earn their risk in the halal, but it's not there. It doesn't occupy them from establishing this dhikr in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Men, their businesses and their trade do not occupy them from the remembrance of Allah and the establishing of the prayer and the giving of the zakah. They fear a day that the hearts and the eyes, you know, the eyesight will be overturned with fear. In the day of judgment, everyone's worried. This is why they come and worship Allah Azza wa Jal. They want the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're scared of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says about them, say that Allah may give them reward them for the best of what that which they used to do. لِيَرْزِيهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. And this is from the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from the gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us, and from amongst His mercy and His bounties. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He rewards us, He rewards us for the best of that which we used to do. Because our actions, some of it are good, some are better than others, some, yani, they're just enough. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He goes to reward us, yani subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a reward for us, He rewards us with the best of that which we used to do. And He increases them from His virtue, and Allah gives to whomever He wants without any questioning. And Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't need anyone to question Him or to hold Him accountable for what He gives. Allah Azza wa Jal will give that person whatever Allah Azza wa Jal desires. And so whether it's in this dunya or it's in the hereafter, the bounties and all of the bounties and the goodness are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So don't let anything from the dunya keep you away from the masajid. And unfortunately, one of our biggest problems is that it's not even about trade anymore. Or it's not even about business anymore. It's about much less than that. People previously used to miss the salat in jama'ah because he used to be earning hundreds or thousands of dollars, or he's doing a business deal, etc. Nowadays, unfortunately, literally the person, he's doing nothing beneficial except sitting in front of his TV or sitting on his phone at home. That's not anything keeping away from the masjid. And when we spoke about the etiquette of Allah Azza wa Jal, we spoke about ensuring that Allah Azza wa Jal is that priority in your life. We spoke about, how do you see whether Allah Azza wa Jal is that priority in your life by metaphorically putting Allah Azza wa Jal on one side and putting anything else on the other side, and which one outweighs which. Unfortunately, many of us were giving into Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Netflix over Allah Azza wa Jal. Instead of pressing pause or lock and coming, we say Allah, he sits flicking through, watching any people do the stupidest of things, or looking at things which are haram, or something which is not going to benefit him whatsoever, and he misses out on the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. If this person knew, if we understood that every good that you can imagine and want is only in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we'd sacrifice everything for that cause. But unfortunately, when we lack this understanding, we see the problems that we see today. And we've spoken about the virtue, about the reward that a person gets, and we spoke about the etiquette of the masjid, that your rewards are multiplied by a minimum of 25 times. And we spoke about the athar, and he mentions it here, so we'll mention it. The Prophet ﷺ's companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, لقد رأيتنا وما يتخلف عنها إلا منافق معلوم النفاق. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I came to salat in jama'ah, they used to pay that much heed and place that much importance on the Salah in Jama'ah, he says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we used to pray, and I seen a time, he's talking about the time of the companions radiallahu anhu, I seen a time where the only person that would not pray in Jama'ah is a munafiq whose nifaq is known. And it's like a hidden munafiq. It's a munafiq who everyone knows that he's a munafiq. He used to be the only one that wouldn't pray in Jama'ah. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ يُؤْتَى بِالرَّجُلِ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِ. And a person used to be brought between two men and lined up between the lines. Yani the believers, from the amount that they used to love the salah in Jama'ah, they would try their utmost best to come. Even if they meant they had to come in between two men. Meaning what? They had to rely on the shoulders of people. People had to carry them to the masjid in order for them to be able to stand up in the line. To that extent, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love and put heed and importance on the salah in the masjid. And unfortunately, we're giving up the salah with ease, sometimes down the road from our house, because of Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Netflix. Allahumma musta'an. Also from amongst the etiquettes when it comes to a person's salah, is al-isra'u li-ada'i salati fi awwali waqtiha. For a person to hasten to the prayer at the beginning of its time. So even though Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a time from that the salah begins and a time that the salah ends, some of that you can pray whenever you want, some you have to pray in the beginning time and it becomes an obligation in the latter time. But in general, this time, even though it's allowed for you to pray any time between these times, the best of these times is the beginning of that time. The best of the time is the beginning of that time, except for Salat al-Isha. The best time for Salat al-Isha is the last of the first third of the night. So split the night up into three, from Maghrib to Fajr. And that first third, that later time is the best time. But no one's going to stay awake, unfortunately, for that Salah. But in general, when it comes to our day, ensure that you're putting emphasis on the Salah so that you're praying to the best of your ability at the beginning time. Again, when it comes to you as a believer, you as a Muslim, you as a person who pays heed in trying to please Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not always about halal and haram. Halal and haram is for the average Muslim, entry-level Muslim. That's halal and haram. The ones who want the higher levels of Iman, the higher levels of Islam, the higher levels of paradise, it's between the halal and the halal. It's between what's good and what's better and what's best. That's for the Muslim who's going to try his hardest. Yani Fajr, you have from mathalan 4:30 and to 5:30, hypothetically speaking. The best time is that 4:30 time. You have the adhan, you pray your sunnah, and to pray Fajr. A person is allowed to delay as long as he makes it before the sunrise. So it's halal to delay to that time, as long as you pray before the time is gone. But what's best? The earlier time. It's not about halal and haram. But sometimes what's good, what's better, and what's best. And what's best, except for Salat al-Isha, is to pray it at the beginning of its time. So when it comes to your Fajr, try your best to pray it early. When it comes to Dhuhr, when most of us are at work, try and ensure that you've organized your time to pray it early. When it comes to Asr, the same thing. Maghrib especially, the same thing. Except for Isha, as we mentioned, to delay it to the first third of the night. That is the best. If a person, due to their circumstances, they have to delay a little bit, there's no problem with that. There's no problem with that, so that nobody misunderstands me. Mathalan, you have your lunch break at your work. You've organized 1:30 every time, that's your lunch break. No problem if you delayed Dhuhr until that time. But when a person has the opportunity, then don't delay it for a reason that Islamically is not considered good. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Verily the salah has been prescribed on the believers. Verily the salah has been obligated upon the believers at prescribed times. So when a person is a Muslim, it's not up to him to choose how he wants to implement Islam. Rather, he looks how does Allah Azza wa Jalla want him to implement his Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made Dhuhr time for Dhuhr and Asr time for Asr and Maghrib and Aisha and Fajr time for their respective salawat. So when you as a believer organize your day, organize it to ensure that your salah is paid on time. And from the best of those times that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you to pray is the beginning of those times. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ayyul a'mali afdal, what is the best of deeds? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started off with, As-salatu li waqtiha. The salah at its prescribed time. So the earlier you pray, the better it is. What about, yani let's say we said the best time is to delay Isha, because I get asked this question a lot. The best time, the Prophet ﷺ said, is to delay Isha to the last of the first third. Yani that's the best time. What about if the masjid is praying earlier? Should we wait at home and delay, or we pray or pray in the masjid? Who said pray at home? Pray in the masjid. Naam, because praying in the masjid in jama'ah is better and more virtuous and more important than praying at home. Even if there's a benefit over there, the greater benefit is here. Or sometimes some brothers, they live next to a masjid where they delay asr. Like the Hanafi madhab, they delay asr. So their asr is yani sometimes an hour after the other three madhahib. The best is if you delay your asr, even though it's best to pray if you're by yourself, yani all things being equal at the beginning of its time, but because in jama'ah they're going to pray later, as long as it's allowed, it's a halal time they're delaying to, then delay and pray in jama'ah. But when you have the luxury of choice, then pray at the beginning time. The seventh etiquette, al-mashu ila salati bi sakinatin wa waqar. And we mentioned this, that in the etiquette of coming to the masjid, that when you come to the salah in the jama'ah, you come bi sakinatin wa waqar, with tranquility and honor. A person shouldn't come and he's worked up and he's been running or he's talking loudly, or he's coming in a fashion which is not gentlemanlike. La. When you come to the masjid, you should come relaxed and honorable. And all of these are all going to add up to ways to attaining khushu' in your salah. That if a person doesn't come to, is not praying in the masjid and he's praying at home, he should still follow the same formula. That when you go to pray, go to the salah in a relaxed fashion. Go to the salah in a relaxed fashion. If you try and pray between commercials, yani you're watching something, and when the commercial comes, then you get up and you pray. Are you going to have any khushu' in your salah? Impossible. Impossible to have khushu' in your salah. Okay? When you're at home, and you've just scrimped at your kids, and so your blood pressure is up, and you're boiling, and you're sweating, and there's froth coming from your mouth, and then you want to pray. Are you going to have khushu' in your salah? You're not going to have khushu' in your salah. Even if you're at home, or you're at some, your workplace, even sometimes if you take those few minutes before your salah to relax and compose yourself, then you get up and pray, then do so. Because in those extra minutes that you gave yourself to relax, your salah will be better. And from amongst the most important parts and rewarding parts in your salah is to ensure that you're praying with khushu'. The eighth etiquette, and this is one that mashallah the brothers always love. What is it? Last, it's got nothing to do with the wife. Is عدم الصلاة بحضرة الطعام أو مع دفعات الأخبثين. For a person to not pray if food is present or he needs to go to the bathroom. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا ودع عشاء أحدكم وأقيمت الصلاة فابدأوا بالعشاء ولا يعجلن حتى يفرغ منه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is why the brothers love it, if food is placed for you and the iqama is given, then begin with your food and do not hasten to finish from it. Yani if food is placed in front of you, and even if the masjid, you could hear the iqama go off, what did the Prophet ﷺ tell you to do? Eat your food first. Eat your food first. Again, why? When we pray, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to have khushu' in our salah. Allah wants us to have khushu' in our salah. If your wife cooked you a meal that you love, Or for the younger boys, your mother cooked you a meal that you love. But you have to, and you smelt it and everything, and you're about to eat, but then the iqamah goes off. So you khalas, I'll go pray. So you left your house and you're going to pray. The whole way to the salah, and in your salah, you're going to be thinking about what? The food. What anil? No. And you're going to be, yani, in your salah, you're going to be making dua against the imam. Why did he read a long surah today? There's no daban, there's no afkar after the salah. It's just, yani, you're thinking, what's going to happen after? So you can rush back. And this is incorrect. This is incorrect. We should try our best to ensure again that we work our lives around the salawat. If you know that you're going to go to salah at this time, yani, speak with your wife, communicate with your wife, Allah khaliki, don't cook before this time or after this time. But if it's in the case where it happens, then eat your food and delay going to the masjid. When it comes to Siyam Ramadan, break your fast, pray, and then go and eat the food. Naam, break your fast, pray, and then go eat the food. Because if you eat, yani Allahul Musta'an, you're still not going to have khushu' after in your salah. Especially the way some of the brothers eat in Ramadan, Allahul Musta'an. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا صلاة بحضرة الطعام ولا وهو يدافعه الأخبثان. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no prayer, and a person shouldn't pray when food is present, nor should he pray if the two dishonorable things are pushing him. Talking about if he needs to get to the bathroom, if he needs to do a number one or number two. And if you're busting to go to the toilet, don't pray. Go relieve yourself, make wudu, and then come back and pray. Again, and most of us, we've prayed in this state, unfortunately. When you're in this state, you need to get to the toilet and you're praying. Is there any sense of khushu'ah whatsoever? No sense of khushu'ah whatsoever. Half the time you're in yourself in position so that you don't leak anything or nothing comes out. Now? Slowly down, slowly up, bending 45 degree angles. There's no khushu'ah whatsoever. So a person should go relieve himself, make wudu, and then come back and pray again. Because when you're going to pray in this state, you're going to have more khushu' in your salah. So it's makruh to pray in the presence of food or when a person needs to go to the bathroom. Tayyib, if there's food, but your wife cooks something and aslan, you know the way your wife makes it, hasha ni'ami. Is there a problem in praying? Did you pray? So the other people can eat it. If you're not craving the food, then there's no problem if you pray. If it's only this is if your person's craving the food or he's really hungry, he wants to eat. But if his wife cooks something that he doesn't like aslan, or it's something that he's not that hungry, and him praying it's not going to affect his khushu', then there's no problem in him praying and then eating after. Etiquette number 9. Al-musara'atu ila saff al-awwal, to hasten to the first row. Again, this is an important one, brothers. Especially when you're in the masjid. If you're in the masjid early, you should have an extremely good reason if you're not praying in the front row. An extremely good reason. Sometimes you see brothers, they're here before anyone, and they still manage to pray in the last row. And they're missing out on a lot of hasanat. The best of rows, as the Prophet ﷺ is, for the men, the first of rows. And then the less, they're all good, but they're not as good. Again, it's not always about haram and halal. This is about what's good and what's better and what's best. And for the men, the best of rows is the front row, as the Prophet ﷺ said. And in this particular narration, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسُ مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ وَصَفِّ الْأَوَّلِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَسْتَهِمُوا عَلَيْهِ لَاسْتَهِمُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِيثِ. Prophet ﷺ said, if the people knew what's in reward, the adhan and the first row, and they had no other choice to decide who was going to do it, they would have done a raffle. They would have done a raffle. And if we were all going to fight for the first row, no one, there was no choice, I want it, you want it, and we're arguing with each other. And the only way to decide it was through a raffle, we would have done it. We would have said, khalas. Whatever the Qadr of Allah Azza chooses, That's what we'll do. And by the way, the refs are done Allah in Sharia. Refs are done Allah in Sharia. If it comes to a choice where a person can't choose. Yani for example, a man's married to two wives. Na'am. And he's going to travel and he can only afford to take one wife with him on this holiday. So they say, okay, what does he do? Na'am. He can only afford to take one wife. They both want to go. None of them's dropping her right. So what do they do? And the both of them stay home. Haram, then he's going to have to get married a third. Then they do a raffle. Na'am, they do a raffle and they choose which one is whichever one name come out, because that's the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They can't argue with that anymore. Na'am. So if there's no other choice, then the people will do a raffle. Raffle sounds funny because yani, we attribute it to things, but it's not raffle like at sports events, etc. This is yani, same concept, but obviously more important. But unfortunately today, yani, when was the last time you seen people arguing about the front row? Never say unfortunately. What do you see in every masjid you go to? People offering the front row to someone else. And a person sitting in the front row, and he sees behind him haram, an old man or another brother, and he says, brother, tfaddal, come take my spot. No. That's not how it works. You should want khair, you should want goodness for people when it comes to dunya. Or you should want them to have khair, but not at your expense. Mathalan, you're eating food, brother, come and eat with me. MashaAllah, you've got a good business and the brother doesn't have work, brother, come work for me. You're helping him out in dunya, no problem. Or for him to help you, yani, there's a space next to you, brother, come pray next to me. This is no problem. But for him to take your hasanat, no, that's not how it should be. You would be fighting with this person. The extent to make a halal, you would do a raffle to do it. But to give it to someone, this is shouldn't be done. There is an exception when you should give up your spot. When's that exception or what's the exception? He's already in front of everyone. Jayid, the knowledgeable one behind the imam. Jayid, the knowledgeable one behind the imam. Because the people right behind the imam should be people of knowledge and people who know more Quran. So that if anything happens to the imam, they can take over. Haram, once a brother made that mistake. And he prayed behind me and I forgot I didn't have wudu. So I grabbed him and I put him in front. The last time he ever prays behind the imam. Now, haram, it was the quickest salah I think he ever prayed. And his voice was shaking the whole salah. As soon as he gave taslim, and he took off, wallah, he actually took off to the back of the masjid and he just went and sat and he's collecting himself after. Now, but that's his fault, haram, for praying behind the imam. In some overseas, I don't know if it happens here, in overseas there's some masjid where they actually mark out, especially in Ramadan, that the imam is there and between maybe like 3-4 people right behind the imam, no one's allowed to pray there except Hafaz al-Quran. So they actually mark it out so that if anything happens, then they can correct the imam or pray behind the imam. Questions at the end? Questions at the end, but anyways. There's weak ahadith, but also what helps is that the Prophet ﷺ used to prefer the right. In things. So if a person can pray on the right, it's not necessarily more hasanat, but it's just a better thing to do because the Prophet used to prefer to do the good things on the right. That's an exception to the rule. No. And the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الصُّفُوفِ رِجَالِ أَوَلُهَا, the best lines of the men are the first. وَشَرُوا أَخِرُهَا, and the worst of them are the last rows. Again, it's not that it's bad or haram, but it decreases in virtue. Just on this, because a lot of people make the mistake. When you pray with the imam, if you're praying by yourself, how do you stand? You and the imam, where do you stand if the imam is praying? On his right side. If there's two people, yani the imam and two people, how do you pray? Behind him. What about if they stand both on his right? What about if they stand both on his left? What about if they stand one on his right, one on his left? If a person is praying in jama'ah, if he's praying by himself, as long as not all the people are on his left. Okay, this is the key point. As long as not all the people are on his left. If everyone is sitting on his left, then the salah is invalid. The salah is invalid. So if he's praying, yani one, if the imam and one person prays on the right. If the imam and two people, they can stand either both behind the imam, or both on the right of the imam, or one on the right and one on the left of the imam, all of this is no problem. But if they pray both on the left of the imam, or he's praying by himself only on the left of the imam, then this salah is invalid. This salah is invalid. And the best, obviously, if you're praying in jama'ah, and there's more than one person, the imam stands in front and the people stand behind. Now, if a person comes late to the salah, and if there's rows, here the first row is full, the second row is full, and you came by yourself in the last row. Tap someone on the shoulder. Tap someone on the shoulder? No, don't tap anyone on the shoulder. Don't tap anyone on the shoulder. Go back, go to the middle. Go to the middle of yani at the back. And if you can, wait for someone. If you think someone's going to come soon, then wait for that person. If you don't think anyone's going to come, or you don't know if anyone's going to come, pray by yourself behind the imam. Pray by yourself in that row behind the imam. Naam. You're not allowed to pray by yourself if there's space in the rows. But if there's no space and you pray behind the rows, no issue, inshallah. Don't tap someone and pull him behind. Naam. Don't tap someone and pull him behind. Sometimes, yani, in some countries, the fatwa, they may give you that fatwa. In some countries where everyone knows what to do, they might give you that fatwa, even though, wallahu alam, it's not the correct opinion. It's because yani, you've taken that person, made your own line, but then you've made a hole in that line. Now, but at least people will know what to do in some countries. In Australia, not everyone knows. Yani, when you tap them, some people I've seen push other, yani, they've been tapped and they grab them and they push them. Naam, they think this guy's shaitan or something. Naam, la. So don't do that. The 10th etiquette is ittikhad al-sutra, for a person to place a sutra, which is something in front of you when you pray. Whether you're praying and you're the imam, or you're praying by yourself, even if you're praying at home, even if you're praying at home, it's always best to put a sutra. And wallahi, there are so many benefits in placing a sutra in front of you. And it helps a lot with the khushu'ah. People don't realize how much the sutra helps with the khushu'ah. Pray with a sutra and pray without a sutra. And you will find that when you pray with a sutra, it helps your khushu'ah, it helps your concentration in your salah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلِيصَلِّ إِلَى سُتْرَةٍ وَلْيَدْنُ مِنْ سُتْرَتِهِ لَا يَقْطَعُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتَهُ. If one of you prays, then let him place in front of him, or if one of you prays, then do not pray except with a sutra, and let him come close to that sutra, yani that barrier, and don't let the shaitan cut off his salah. Yani Allah, cut off the khushu' in your salah. If you have a sutra, people know to walk around you, etc. And as we said, when you have a sutra and your concentration stops there, whatever happens after that becomes easier to avoid. Becomes easier to avoid. And even your children at home, teach them, if I put something in front of me, don't walk in front. Naam, always walk around. And this will lessen the shaitan's impact in taking away your khushu'ah. The 11th etiquette is to use the siwak before the salah. To use the siwak before the salah. The siwak is the toothbrush, yani that's made from the arak tree. And you find, alhamdulillah, a lot of people use it. Unfortunately, in Australia, we get the packaged one. We get the packaged one, and so it dries up easy, and it goes, fiddles easy, etc. If you go, I know in Saudi, they have the fresh ones. Anyone ever used fresh siwak? As soon as you use it, what happens to your mouth? It starts to burn in your mouth. Now, because it's proper. These ones, you use it, and it tastes like minties, and it tastes like this, and it tastes like that. Yani they got chemicals, and Allahu alam how long they've been in storage, etc. Over there, when you use it, you actually feel it working in your mouth. Okay? So this is proper tabarakallah, and you can always buy it, and it lasts long, etc. The ones that we have, they're not as good, but still, if a person uses it, inshallah, he still gets the same reward and virtue. Even if you don't have the siwak, and you were to use something along the lines of siwak, also insha'Allah you get the reward. Yani if a person when he wakes up for fajr, before you pray fajr, you brush your teeth, even if it's just to take the plaque off and to change that smell from your teeth and from your gums and from your tongue, you still get the hasanat insha'Allah. Before you come to the masjid to have chewing gum or to have minties or the eclipse, anything to change the bad smell in your mouth and to purify your mouth, all of this you still get rewarded for insha'Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. If it was not going to cause immense hardship on my ummah, on my nation, I would have commanded them to use the siwak for every salah. Yani before every salah to use the siwak. But because the Prophet ﷺ knows it's going to cause hardship for everyone to do for every salah, that's why the Prophet ﷺ didn't make an obligation, but it still remains mustahab, preferred to do so. The final etiquette for today, and inshallah we'll leave the khushu' for next week. The final etiquette for today is to do dua al-istiftah. That when you first start your salah, for you to make the dua before you actually read al-fatiha. And the most common one of that, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. These short four phrases, and very simple to memorize, and it's in Fortress of the Muslim. And there are different ones that a person can say. There are short ones like this, and there are longer ones, and all of them are authentic and allowed to be said. For a person to start his salah before Al-Fatiha with this. And that's why you find when the Imam starts his salah, he'll say Allahu Akbar, and then there's a pause, and then he'll start with Al-Fatiha. And that's because he's saying dua al-istiftah. So again, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, or these are one of the أدعي he used to say سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. And this one and other ones are in the book that we gave, The Fortress of the Muslim. So to say this dua, and again, all of these things, and we'll mention them next week inshallah, all of these things will help with the khushu' in the salah. All of these things will help with the khushu' in the salah, and you only have from your salah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that which you pay attention to. So that which you have khushu' in, that which you're paying attention to, and then you get the benefits of salah. That relaxation, that tranquility, there's rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal, there's higher levels, that success, etc. All of that comes along with khushu' as Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Verily the believers are successful. The first trait, Allah says, those who in their salah have khushu'. So inshallah Azza wa Jal will go through khushu' and what it is, and how to ways to attain it next week, inshallah. So just to summarize before we take questions from the etiquettes. For a person to do his wudu properly in preparation for the salah, to pray as much as you can in jama'ah, in the masajid. For a person to pray at the beginning of its time. For a person to come to the masjid or even prepare before he prays even by himself, with honor and tranquility. For a person not to pray when there's something that's going to distract him, like food or needing to go to the bathroom. For a person to hasten and try his best to pray in the first row. For a person to pray with a sutra, whether he's in jama'ah, he's the imam, or he's praying by himself, even if it's at home. For a person to use the siwak or its like. And for a person to make dua al-istiftah when he begins the prayer. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, next week we'll begin with khushu'. Hadha wallahu a'lam, sallallahu Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.